We come this morning session 1, message 5. How about we all read the title together? The human spirit revealed in Ephesians, filled in spirit and praying in spirit, being filled in spirit and praying in spirit. This morning we want to be impressed again concerning our human spirit. The foundation of our Christian life is this mingled spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." So in this verse, we see two spirits joined together as one spirit. You know, in the New Testament, there are three verses that talks about concerning two spirits, the divine spirit and human spirit. So these three verses, we really need to know it, thoroughly familiar with these three verses. I'm sure you all know these three verses. But these three verses form a group concerning two spirits. The first one, John 3:6. The second one, John 4:24. And the third one, Romans 8:16. So John 3:6, it's in the same chapter that talks about John 3:16. This is so popular, nearly every believer can recite John 3:16, right? Even when we preach the gospel, we come across new believers. They say, "Oh, I'm a believer." And every time when I ask them, "What's your favorite verse?" they say, "Oh, John 3:16." But not everyone can recite John 3:6. So John 3:6, it says, "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Of course, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So we see, surely in the past speaking, we realized that our spirit, before we received the Lord, it was deadened. Although we had a spirit created by God, but it was deadened. But praise the Lord, whenever we receive the Lord, we pray to the Lord came into our spirit. So our spirit became regenerated. That's why the verse says, "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So we may say this is a second birth. This word comes, you know, born again. This is not a name, but it's a fact. We are born of God. So in this verse, we see that the triune God came into our human spirit as life. So now in our human spirit, in our mingled spirit, we possess God's life and nature. Actually, we possess God Himself. Okay, so I just want us to see the connection, these three verses. So now, in John 3:6, we see we possess the life of God. Okay. So John 4:24, it shows us we need to nurture this life, cause this life to grow, to maintain this life. How can we see it? John 4:24, it says, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truthfulness." So where do we see here? Can we see here the eating? The eating God? We said we need to eat God, right? You know, in a sense, worshiping is eating, right? So our spirit is not only to contact God, to worship God, and to eat God, also to assimilate God. So this matter, when we say God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit, and sometimes it says reality or truthfulness. This matter of truthfulness or reality refers the offerings in the Old Testament. So Christ is the reality, all the offerings that are mentioned in Exodus or in the Old Testament. So what is this offering for? Not only to offer God as food, this offering also offered food for us also. So that means when we worship God, actually we are not only contacting, we are eating God. We are eating Christ. So this eating causes us to grow in life. And how about Romans 8:16? Romans 8:16, this is great. This is so good. It says, the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. So here it says there are, it's witnessing between the divine spirit and human spirit. And this is mainly to be a co-worker of God. First we are born, then we are eating. And what is our eating for? To labor with God, to be co-worker of God. And all these, it's matter of our mingled spirit. Okay, just want to mention a little experience. I think we all have these experiences. So in order to serve, to walk, we all say amen, yes. All our labor or work should be in our mingled spirit. Okay, the question is, how often we are we in our spirit? But this morning, throughout this week, most of our time, I believe, is in our spirit. So every day, we are able to enter, to exercise our spirit. For me personally, it's hard for me to know if I am in my spirit. But I can tell you for sure when I am not in my spirit. So when we are conscious of that we are not in our spirit, that's a sign that we need to exercise our spirit. You know, it's okay as we are learning, right? We are being perfected. Oftentimes, daily, we are in our spirit and out of our spirit. In and out. In and out. Right? That's okay. As long as we are in, out. Sometimes, in, out, out. In, out. So we are learning how to exercise our spirit. How to recognize, okay, this is the time for me to exercise our spirit. And this is mainly, it's for our living with God. And this is, it says, Roman numeral 1, this is a Christian life. This is, we might say, this is individual. Having time with the Lord and being enjoying to be one spirit with him. Mainly it touches our individual living. Okay, with this, how about let's all read the Roman numeral 1 together. Mission of the Christian life. Okay. How about the brothers on 1, sisters on A, sisters on B, all together on C. Amen. Must worship in spirit. Amen. Amen. Spirit witnesses with our spirit. You know, here also in Romans 8:16, have you realized, since we have these two spirits, the divine spirit and human spirit, always they communicate with one another? Probably this is new. You know, our human spirit says to the divine spirit, God is my Father. And the divine spirit says, Amen. And the divine spirit says, you are the child of God. And you know what the human spirit says? Hallelujah. So there is a witnessing within us that we are one spirit with God, one spirit with the Lord. How about let's all read D and E together. These two spirits living together and exist together as one mingled spirit in the church life.
Amen.
Amen. So how about Roman numeral 2 altogether? We need to be filled in a spirit to overflow. Have you noticed the first Roman numeral is the Christian life? It's a matter of mingled spirit, based on our mingled spirit. This is the foundation of our Christian life. Roman numeral 2, it says we need to be filled in spirit to overflow for the church life. Do you see this is the corporate aspect? How crucial it is for us to be filled in spirit for the church life. How about brothers on A?
To be filled in spirit is to be filled in our regenerated spirit with Christ as the spirit, unto all the fullness of God. Whereas to be drunk with wine is to be filled with the wine of earthly pleasure.
Amen. Okay, what does it mean to be filled in spirit? So here it says to be filled in spirit versus to be filled with the wine of the earthly pleasure. You know, as I was growing up, I thought pleasure, you know, the way I grew up, in order for me to pursue the Lord, there's no pleasure. You have to live miserable life to please God. So I have to stay from having pleasure. But after I received the Lord, I realized this. God is full of pleasure. Even in the beginning, God's intention in creating man, you know, he put Adam in the Garden of Eden. You know, the meaning of the Garden of Eden, it's a garden of pleasure. I just want to read a few verses from the Old Testament concerning this matter, pleasure. Even in Ephesians, right? He has full of intention, full of pleasure. There's something in God makes him happy. He's a happy God. He wants to make us happy, to have a pleasure. But, you know, the earthly pleasure, that's why we should be very careful of anything earthly that makes us happy. You know, in our soul, we might be happy, But this is very temporary. You know, many years ago, I went to a concert. I realized, okay, this is good. And then I began to depress. I thought, okay, there are three more songs. That's the end. That's it. Before the concert is over, where is the pleasure? There's no pleasure. Okay, Psalms 16:11. Listen to this. Psalms 16:11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forever.
Amen.
The pleasure, it's forever. It's unlimited. Okay, I have more verses. Psalms 36:8. They are saturated with the fatness of your house, and you cause them to drink. You know, this is very good prayer, just personal prayer, right? Lord, cause me to drink of the river of your pleasures. Wow, yes. Okay, so when we have time with the Lord, we are filled. So when you are filled, okay, in Ephesians 3:19, it says, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. So not only to be filled, but the fullness. Fullness means overflow. Do you see this? The overflow. Actually, to be filled, to receive, right? And here also, to overflow, also to be filled. So every time we come to speak, apparently we are overflowing. That's right. That's correct. And spontaneously we are being filled. Filled with God. Okay. You know how can we tell someone is filled with the Spirit? When we speak. You know, you have in Acts 2:4, it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. There are two parallel verses I want to mention, Ephesians 5:18 and Colossians 3:16. And you know, this is kind of a charge, Paul charging the believers, be filled. This imperative to be filled, we might say active, passive. Active, we need to exercise our spirit. And be passive to receive all the dispensing. And Colossians 3:16, it says, let, it's active, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And even in Ephesians 3, be strengthened with power. You know, saints, it needs exercise. Exercise to touch our mingled spirit. I still have time. So. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, so the best way to overflow, of course, we are being filled, and when we are filled, we speak. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12:2, Paul says that it talks about dumb idols. You know, also dumb idols need worshipers. You know what is their function? To be silent. Our God is living.
Amen.
He's a speaking God. He's seeking worshipers who's speaking, right? So, and he wants us to make us joyful noise. In Psalm 100, verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise to Jehovah, all the earth. Amen. Okay, how about let's read B and all together B. Speaking to one another, singing in thanks. Spirit. Okay. How about let's continue speaking, singing, and giving thanks. Amen. Amen. Spirit. Take the initiative. Amen. Don't wait for inspiration. Take initiative. Amen. You know, I really enjoyed those second row. Do you remember? So, I don't know, they were waiting for inspirations. But you know what? When they stood, I was paying attention. They did a good job. So when they took the... They were being charged to come here, right? And when they opened their mouth, the Spirit was flowing. Amen. So we are, the Spirit is subject to us. Amen. So when we stood up ourselves, the Spirit will support us. In the Old Testament, there's Isaiah chapter 64, 7. Listen what it says, Isaiah. When I read this, I was so amazed. And there is no one who calls upon your name. Wow. Who stirs himself up to lay hold of you? Listen to this. Who does the stirring up? We do. It says, who stirs himself up to lay hold. Oh, dear saints, one of the functions of our Christian life is to speak. Amen. Amen. Okay, how about let's all read D together.
How about we continue to read Romans 3?
We need to pray at every time in spirit that we might have a proper overcoming church life.
Well, saints, this week we come to the last message of this line, session one, in the morning. At the beginning of the week, when we started this line, I expressed to you that our burden here is really to impress you that... that we will really treasure our spirit and love our spirit, cherish our spirit, and use our spirit and being a people in our spirit. And I think going through chapter by chapter of Ephesians, you can really see that Paul is a person, he really knows his spirit. Amen. Yeah, and God's economy can be only realized through our spirit. And also, God's economy can be only carried out and experienced in our spirit. If we don't know our spirit, we missed out a lot. We missed out a lot. So all what we can see, what we can experience, is just the seen realm. Like what Brother Tony mentioned last night, there are two realms. One is seen, one is unseen. Right? Actually, the unseen realm is more real than the seen realm. The seen realm only exists for a short time. It won't stay here forever. Yeah. The unseen realm is eternity. It is eternal. So we come to this, you know, Brother Robert just now helped us to cover being filled in spirit, which is in Ephesians chapter 5. Now I would like to continue on with Ephesians chapter 6. This matter of praying. So after writing six chapters, almost toward the end of the epistle now, and you know what Paul mentioned about the matter of praying. Prayer is the best way to exercise our spirit. How do you exercise your legs, Joshua? By running, by walking, right? And there's no other way, right? And David, how do you exercise your eyes? Yeah, by reading, by looking, right? But how do you exercise your spirit? Praying. When you pray, that is the best way to use your spirit. And all our spiritual experiences has to do with our praying. And also our spiritual strength can be shown by how we pray, how much we can pray, and how ready we pray. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord for praying. Okay, let's read point A. In praying, the main faculty we should use is our spirit, not our mind or emotion. You remember the spirit is our deepest being, deepest part of our being? So that means when we pray in our spirit, we need to learn to turn deep into our being. Don't just hovering over your mind, your thinking, your thoughts. Sink deeper into your spirit. Right? One, prayer must be in spirit. For the real significance of prayer is to contact God in our spirit and to absorb God Himself. Hallelujah. This is the main function of our prayer. Every time we pray, we want to contact Him. Every time we pray, we want to get more of Him. A little bit more saturation of God. Right? And where is God? God doesn't dwell in our mind. Neither He dwell in our emotion. He is in our spirit. So we need to turn deeper into our spirit. Okay, number two. If our mind is overactive, or if our emotion is not under control, we shall find it difficult to pray. Isn't that your experience, sisters? Isn't that your experience? Brothers, is it not your experience? When your mind is overactive, how about you just watch a movie, have killing, have robbing, everything, then you start to pray. Do you think you can calm down your mind right away to pray? No. Your mind flying everywhere. All colors, all shots, and all explosion. Fireworks all go on your head. You can't pray. Right? How about what? Uncontrolled emotion. Sisters, emotion. You know what? I want to mention one thing to you, saints. On one hand, you know, this line said we need to pray at every time. But in our daily life, we are exposed to all kinds of elements. You know, through our ears, through our eyes, through our thoughts, and, you know, all kinds of things just try to invade and distract us. But how can we exercise in such a way? Especially once we, I want to mention these things. Many times when we pray, we try to just, you know, close our eyes and be very quiet, and then before you know it, and you really fall asleep. And you didn't pray. Actually, you want to pray, but you didn't pray. And when you are so quiet like this, you know what's the most activating part? It's your mind. So what should you do? And I'm just sharing this with you from my experience and from so many other brothers and sisters' experience. At this moment, don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. You have to really start to call from deep within. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. As you are calling, you're gathering your thoughts. pulling back all your thoughts. Calm down all your emotion. Lord Jesus. And your whole thoughts or your whole focus is on the Lord Himself. Pull your attention back from everything, everyone, every matter, back to the Lord. Lord Jesus. You may not want to, you know, it depends. Sometimes you really need to call out to get out of yourself. Get out of your mind. Lord Jesus! Lord Jesus! Lord Jesus! But sometimes you may not need to do that. Sometimes you just simply, because our emotion is so complicated, our inward being is so distracted, sometimes you do need to, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Your point is you want the Lord. You want to touch Him. That is the start of our praying. If we are not able to penetrate to that shell, we are not entering into the Holy of Holies. We are not in our spirit. We are not contacting the Lord. Okay, let's read on. Number three, to have a prayer life and pray unceasingly, our mind must be sober, our emotion must be regulated, and our will must be strengthened by being under the control of the Spirit in our spirit. This is the real exercise of our spirit. Every part of our mind, emotion, and will is under the control of the Spirit. I just want to read you this. Okay. From 1 Timothy 2:8, it says, I desire, therefore, that men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands without wrath and reasoning. You know why Paul mentioned about wrath and reasonings? Okay. Let me read the footnote to you here. It's really good. Praise the Lord. Amen. We need to lift up our holy hands, right? Whether you really physically lift up or not, that is another matter. But let me read you the significance and the meaning here. Hands symbolize our doings. Hence, our hands signify a holy living, a living that is pious and that belongs to God. Such a holy life strengthens our prayer life. Such a holy life strengthens our prayer life. If our hands are not holy, our living is not holy, and is not for God, we then have no supporting strength to pray, no holy hands to lift up to pray. And so we need to take care of also of our living. You know what? Satan tried to stop our praying. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, right? And he closed his door. He didn't bother anyone. But why these people want to spy on him and want to stop his prayer? There's no logic. Because only Satan knows how critical our prayer is to the Lord. And so we need to guard our prayer with a living that supports and strengthens our prayer. You know what? If our living is not proper, is not right before God, not right before man, you know what? Our prayer is hard to pray. Because right away you close your eyes, want to pray, the accusation just comes. You know, the wrath just welling up. The reasoning just take over. Okay, let me read you the note on wrath. Wrath and reasoning kills our prayer. Wrath is of our emotion, and reasoning is of our mind. To have a prayer life and pray unceasingly, our emotion and mind must be regulated to be in a normal condition, under a control of the Spirit in our spirit. Saints, this has a lot to do with our living. Again, when I was growing up, I love the Lord, I love the Word, but I just short of this spiritual guidance. And Once a week, I only watch one TV program, okay? And Wednesday night, 9:30 to 10. That is wrestling. You know, wrestling, you know, watching under people twisting your neck and, you know, that is just like tangle up your whole being, you know. Just like, after that, I went up to my bedroom. I tried to pray and read the Word. I can have Bible open and my eyes staring on the Word, but the Word didn't get in. And I tried to pray. I'm still thinking about that, those movements. I feel so far away from God. Then eventually, 2-3 weeks in a row, I said, why this happened every time after I watched that program? Then eventually, thank the Lord for it. A brother helped me. And so we need to set our mind on our spirit. Eventually, I tell Satan, I'm not going to be tricked anymore. And if that doesn't help my prayer, I would stop that. It wastes my time. Okay, B. We need to pray in spirit in order to apply Christ as a whole armor. Spiritual warfare and defeat our enemy. So saints, again, before I move on this point, I just want to say, when we pray, when you have a personal time with the Lord, either in the morning or during the day, don't try to be silent. Silent does not help you contacting God. And at least use, verbalize, soft or loud, it doesn't matter. Verbalizing it. Lord Jesus. If you cannot hear yourself, how can God hear you? Eventually, you just fall back to sleep. And then you have to repent. Lord, forgive me, for I didn't pray. You know? So, exercise to have a certain posture. You know? Try not to... We're talking about the quality of our prayer time. Right? Okay. Okay, last point. And I just want to read you Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to see what Paul talks about praying. Really, praying is not a simple thing. He said, by means of all prayer and petition, praying in every time in spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. So I just want to highlight the word, you know, praying at every time in spirit and watching. That means you need to be on the alert. Not just the time when you pray, you need to be on the alert. Try to turn off your phone to the airplane mode. Yeah. Try to, you know, just ignore everyone. Only for 10 minutes, or for me, it's 30 minutes. You can call me later. You can look for me later. Right? And, you know, because of one knocking, one ringing, one texting coming, your brain started to play with you. Oh, maybe someone that, maybe really you need to pay attention to that. You get distracted. So we need to watch over it. On the alert. Like you are in a battleground. Because this whole chapter 6 of Ephesians, it talks about the church being the warrior. We are in a battlefield. You cannot not be watchful. The bullet will come your way. Right? And also we need to persevere. It means we need to, I want to read you the note here on persevere. Yeah, it said to maintain a life of prayer, we need all perseverance, a constant, persistent care. Yeah, not just that time that you pray, you need to be on the alert, but also the time outside of that prayer time, we still want to maintain a praying spirit. Otherwise, it is hard for us to lift up our holy hands at any time. Can you and another brother just run out on the campus? You know, you say, praise the Lord. And then you have a little fellowship with each other and you easily strike into prayer. How about that? May our spirit be so keen to pray. And by saying this, that doesn't mean that I'm expert on it. I'm still a trainee. I'm learning. But may we all be learning, right? And this is not a light matter. We need to all exercise with perseverance. So as a conclusion, I just want to give you 6 points. Of course, exercise of spirit are not limited to these 6 points. But I just want to give you a little concluding word. To exercise our spirit includes, number one, to confess our sin, our shortage, our failure, so that we can have a conscience that is void of offense. That is the exercise of our spirit. We need to confess our sin. Number two, exercise to have a pure heart, a single heart, seeking only Him and His will. Yeah, exercise the spirit, also including exercising our heart. Yeah, number three, we need to learn to set our mind on the spirit. Yeah, that means learning to live according to the sense of life within. Yeah, turn our mind away when we sense inwardly there is dryness, deadness, restlessness, things like this. But turn to set our mind to where the peace, life, satisfaction can be found. That is only in our spirit. Number four, exercise to always rejoice, praising and giving thanks in all things. And it's not a small thing. Giving thanks in all things. If you just want to pick up this one point to exercise for the next week, just learn to give thanks. Whatever you face, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even though you might be a little bit angry, but you still, thank you, Lord. You exercise to thank the Lord and to praise the Lord. Number five, exercise to speak the word in season and out of season. Amen. For this, we need to be filled with the word. Yeah. Learn to speak the word in our conversation, especially with each other, right? Learn to speak in our conversation, to minister a little Christ by speaking the word of God. Lastly, number six, always stay in a praying spirit. Exercise to be in a praying spirit. Okay, saints, we would like to give the next 10 minutes to you to still really exercise your spirit to speak something, what you have experienced, what you have gained throughout this week of this line of any messages that you've been touched with.